off the coast of ivory, Mother's County's ocean blue. Saw you dipping, diving with your family crew. Yeah, yeah. Not the normal species you. Big love coming through. Tried to turn away from you, but couldn't do. Cause your guiding light came crashing through. Standing there overwhelmed by you. The brilliant color of you. Yeah. Fast forward, slide down to Cape Town in June. Nighttime was high and the moon was full bloom. Still the ocean floor you sweep like a broom. Oh, big whale, I see you swimming blue. Cheer up, I'ma get to you, I'ma get next to you.
Hey, Tony Beers, how are you doing today? Boy, do we have a great show for you today. Bob and I are here, and we're doing a special treat today. How you doing today, Bob?
I'm doing great.
Yes, we're prepared because we're going to be talking about the Queen of England.
Nice.
Yes, the passing of the great Queen of England and all the festivities around that. And we're also going to be talking about the retirement of the Queen of Tennis. Yes, that's Serena Williams. So we got an exciting show for you today. All Tony Beers out there and newcomers. There's going to be Bob and me and music from Jay. There's going to be Darnell's Diamond Nuggets and, of course, Beverly's ABCs of Education. And we'll round out with Boat30.com. So without further ado, we're going to kick it off. Really, topic number one is what is our theme of the week? And so our theme of the week this week is a very simple one, and it's simply to protect your quiet time. Protect your quiet time. How do you protect your quiet time? By being still. The idea is that we're always going and moving and doing, and we feel compelled that we should be always doing something. And so if you just shift your thinking just a little bit, you could actually be doing something. It's called sitting still. It is an active activity, but you have to really work at it. Very few people are good at it. The whole idea that the theme of the week is protect your quiet time by simply being still. And we have a scripture to back it up. Where is the scripture found? Where are we going to go to? Psalms 46, 10 and 11. Right out of the King James Version, it reads, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." So that's a scripture that really highlights the whole idea of being still. Bob, what do you think about this whole idea of actively being still?
I'm perfectly comfortable with that idea.
Yes.
I feel like I already embrace that approach.
So Barb is an embracer of the whole concept of being still sometimes, just sitting somewhere and having some quiet time to reflect. And Bob, do you do this often, or is it a natural tendency for you to just be still and be quiet?
Not as often as I'd like.
All right, so Bob is saying,
generally, like, I mean, sitting still, that's one thing, but not having outside influences,
yes,
like sounds.
And
yeah, I generally have a lot of sounds going on.
Okay, so
it's all, that's the tough part for me. It's getting away from the other influences.
Yes,
while
and
I'm
so
sitting still.
Tony Beers and newcomers, Bob is striving for what we're thinking about today, which is the theme of the week, protect your quiet time by just being still. But he, along with myself, we're challenged in this area because even when we're trying to be still and quiet, there's noise everywhere. So you would even have to work to try to reduce your noise level, not to zero, that might be impossible, but as close to it as you can, and just sit still and be quiet. Yes. So that is our theme of the week, and that is our scripture of the week. Now, how do you protect your quiet time? I just thought maybe we'd throw a few things out at you, Tony Beers and newcomers, of how you might protect your quiet time. First, you should schedule it. Schedule your quiet time, and here's the key. Don't change the time. Do it. Schedule quiet time and then do it. Number two, plan what you expect to get out of your quiet time. I think that's very important. You're sitting quiet, but what do you expect to get? Do you want to be refreshed? Do you want to be energized? Do you want both of those?
Do you want to fall asleep?
Do you want to fall asleep, as Bob is saying? But plan what you expect to get out of your quiet time. Then number three is choose your place of quiet time. Is it in your car? Is it in the bathroom? Is it outside on the porch? Where is this quiet time? And what's interesting is right now we were trying to have quiet time, and guess what? Noise is around us even here in the studio. So you see that even when you're trying to be quiet, noise persists. And then last, make it a pleasant space, wherever it is. Make it a pleasant space. So if you have to put a photo up, a photograph, or maybe you do want some quiet music softly being in the background. I don't know. Whatever it is. But you need to be quiet in your spirit. Bob, what are you thinking about this idea that you should schedule the time, you should plan what you expect to get, you should choose a place, and you should make the place pleasant?
I think that's all part of embracing the idea that, that what you're doing is something you want for yourself. So if it's already scheduled, then doing it and following through, and you know that that's something good. If you haven't scheduled it and you're going, well, maybe now, well, you're always thinking, but I could be doing this thing or I could be listening to that thing.
Yes, competing interests.
If you've scheduled it ahead of time, it's like you've given yourself permission to do it.
Yes, and that's a key point that Bob is pointing out, Tony Beers and newcomers, is that if you schedule it, you're prioritizing yourself. You're saying, I'm important. Yes, I have a lot of things to do, and I have family, and I have church, and I have office meetings, and you know, business job-related things, but I also am important. So scheduling it is very key. Tony Beers, I want you to think about this. Are you protecting your quiet time? We're going to leave you with that thought and just let it permeate for a while.
Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, coming to you live from New York. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. And I invite you to join me and a whole bunch of other great people in the TV world for Tony B's Media Fest. All you have to do to find out all about it is go to TonyBMediaGroup.com. That's TonyBMediaGroup.com. Stay well and stay tuned, everyone.
Meanwhile, we're going to switch to the Queen. Yes, the Queen of England. And so, as you all know or should know by now, that the monarch has been in turmoil as they make new adjustments. Why? Because the great Queen of England, Elizabeth II, passed away. She died on September 8th, 2022. And she was born April 21st, 1926. In London. It's at Bourbon Street, London, UK. I don't know, Bob, what have your overall feelings been about this ceremony, at least if you saw the procession? What was your overall feeling about
it? Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see the ceremony, but the procession, it was very appropriate, it felt. Solemn. It was beautiful.
Well, she reigned for 70 years, seven decades. Yeah. That's a lot. And pretty much came into this in her very youthful years.
Oh, yeah.
Became actually the queen, which was a very, I think a stoic she had a very great sense of humor and all. Anyway, we want to just pay tribute to the life of Queen Elizabeth II and the fact that she had children. She has King Charles III. You know, Charles now is the king with her leaving. And Anne, Princess Royal, Prince Andrew, the Duke of York. She has grandchildren, Prince Harry, Duke of Sussex, William, Prince of Wales, and, you know, her spouse was Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, and he passed away in 2021. So here we are a year later, and she passes away. So we just want to take a moment of silence.
Do you have access to your bank CEO? At the First Bank of Greenwich, you will. They are experts in commercial and residential lending. Visit them in Westchester, Stamford, and in Greenwich, Connecticut.
So I thought what we do is I have this book that I've been reading, Bob.
Oh.
And the book is called The Art of Doing Twice the Work in Half the Time. And it's by Jeff Sutherland. And he's the co-creator of this new philosophy called Scrum, S-C-R-U-M. And what is Scrum?
Well, isn't that a phrase out of
rugby.
Sports?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's actually, he says, well, let me just take a little excerpt. This framework is simple, he says. He looked at it at how people actually work than how they say they work. This whole idea, because the title is The Art of Doing Twice the Work in Half the Time. And what Mr. Sutherland did, Jeff Sutherland did, was he canvassed how people actually work. And what he found is that people think that they work a certain way, but when you actually put it into a system, you'll see that they actually work different. And so his whole idea is to capture that and to make sure that people are doing the job that they think. So let's just read a little bit here. He looked at how the research was done over decades of different companies, and he came up with this team performance called Scrum. The term comes from the game of rugby, and it refers to the way a team works together to move the ball down the field. Key word, how the team works together. And here are the things that they have to be cognizant of. Careful alignment, unity of purpose, and clarity of goals all come together to make a perfect metaphor for what he wants teams to do in the future. So the whole idea, what do you think about that, Bob?
I'm just thinking that this is why sports were taught to young
age.
Men and women.
Yes.
Right from the start, that they could learn a great deal about life in general from just how a sport is run, is done.
I think that's so important. And not is it only is it building your body, but how to work with other personalities,
yes.
How to win together. Like, you could win individually, but can you win as a team? Like, that's a big concept. And this whole idea of Scrum is that taking all these things and making sure that there is Kelfer alignment, that people do work together, so unity of purpose and a clarity of the same goals. And by doing this, management usually wants two things out of any project. Guess what they are, Bob?
Making money?
The two most important things that management wants out of any project is control and predictability. And if you control it and you can predict it, then the money apparently flows.
Oh.
Those are the two main components. And the reason why things go awry is because you can't usually control the process because you have different personalities. And you can't predict the outcome. That's the key thing. Well, in summary, because we were going to move on, but The book is called Scrum, The Art of Doing Twice the Work in Half the Time. The author is Jeff Sutherland, and you can get this at Amazon and any places where books are.
Good morning. This is Darnell with Darnell's Diamond Nuggets. I want to talk briefly about the story of Lele. My inspiration comes from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, the New King James Version, and I'm going to be brief. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. For it by the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. Let's leave it right there. I want to talk about the story of Lele because I recently lost my brother. He's probably 15 months older than me, a big part of my life. But I know God working it all out. He knows what's best. And so I come across a streaming of a high school track meet, young adults, teenagers from Raleigh, Durham, and the Charlotte area competing. I see the 400-meter hurdles. Got off to, everyone was in, you know, had a good start. But at the end of the first hurdle, probably the smallest lady in the field clipped her toe and lost her cleat and was immediately out of contention, but she had the presence of mind to pick up her shoe and go back and put it on and stay in the race. And I commend her for that. So it brought me to my diamond nugget, Darnell's diamond nugget. Number one is don't allow your circumstances to stop your conviction. I know I lost a loved one and many of us have too. Sometimes we lose shoes in life, but we put them back on, pick them up and keep moving. So when God has a greater purpose for you, it's for you. Point number two, it starts with biblical faith. And number three, faith has to be a relationship. It's non-negotiable and unconditional. You have to sacrifice and serve as well. Thank you. You've been a blessing to me. This is Darnell Diamond Nuggets. I love you and God loves you too.
My company is Lincoln Heritage Life Insurance. I specialize in final expense insurance for low income and people who make between $10,000 and $55,000 a month. And I speak before public groups and I try to be inspirational. And so today, I would just encourage us all to keep our eyes open, our ears open, and always look for an opportunity to show kindness and encourage someone because you never know what a person's going through.
Next topic is going to be from Boat30.com. Yes, under the umbrella of Boat30.com, we're highlighting the queen of tennis. Yes, Serena Jamica Williams. Who is Serena Jamica Williams? She's an American professional tennis player. She's ranked number one many times throughout her career, and she's personally been at this for over 25 years. Bob, it seems that she came into the arena almost as a teenager. She was around 14 and 15 years old when she started competing almost at the pre-professional level, and has been at it. So she's saying now that
along with her sister, who was now her sister's a little bit older.
Yes, Venus Williams as well, also a champion who helped Serena get to where she is. We do also want to highlight Venus as well. But Serena was born on September 26, 1981. She's 40 years old, soon to be 41 years old.
Well, she's got a right to be considering retiring then.
Yes. I mean, that is a lot. Her spouse is Alexis Ohanian, and they were married in 2017. So Venus has several siblings, sisters, and one brother. She also, Serena, has a child. Her name is Alexis Olympia Ohanian Jr. So her daughter has the same name as her husband, and they have named her a junior.
Oh, I see.
Right? So
that's
with
unusual.
All the new things that we're doing in the world, they're now a young lady can have her dad's name and be a junior. Serena has won over 23 Grand Slam titles. That's pretty incredible.
Now, Grand Slam, that means it's the top tier tennis for a particular country. Is
yes,
that, that's
and
right?
It means that you've sweeped several countries and to complete the entire Grand Slam. So
let's say
you win the Wimbledon, you win the Austrian Open, you win the French Open. If you win all
so
four
So it's not
of
just
the top,
one tournament. It's
Yes, to in order to do a
whole
Grand Slam
of
or win a
right.
Grand Slam, you have to win at the competing level at like four or five majors.
Wow.
And so you have to be superior.
Yes.
And so we want to thank Cerulea Williams. We want to thank Bolt30.com for sponsoring this. And just to give you an idea of how much money Serena Williams has amassed, she is well approaching the $200 million mark in her lifetime career. And with her husband, coupled into the things that he's doing, he's a businessman and an entrepreneur, they have exceeded well above the $250 million plus market. They are in the quarter of a $1 billion range, just the two of them. That's pretty outstanding. Bob, what would you say to that?
Well, what struck me was, now I know where she's likely making a lot of her money is in advertising.
And endorsements.
Yes.
I would say half of her money is made on the field, but the major part of it, probably the 55% range, is endorsements. She got
And I think it's interesting what she endorses.
It yes.
tends to be products for women pretty close to her age.
Yes, and she is a advocate of obviously sports and women and young women and athletes. She got $55 million from Nike.
Wow. Now, wait a minute. I don't remember seeing her do any Nike spots. That's interesting.
Yes.
The ones that strike me that I notice are the medications that she was helping.
Yeah,
with.
She was highlighting certain medicines that you take.
For migraine.
Migraine,
sufferers.
Headaches.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So she's really done a lot. Mm. They say she's worth right now $260 million. Just under $95 million of Serena's income has come from on-court winnings, twice as much as the next female player on the list, which is her sister, Venus. Forbes pegs her net worth at $260 million. So actually, when you couple that with what her husband is making, that's just her.
I wonder how hard it is at this point in her life to feel the motivation to want to go out and compete at the level that got her to where she is.
Well, she says, Serena Williams says that she just wants to kind of right now be a mom.
Yeah.
And watch her daughter play, which she says is very promising.
Yeah.
Her young daughter looks like she could be a champion. But you mentioned Nike, and just you didn't know. How much did Nike pay Serena Williams? I said here, Williams' biggest endorsement was with Nike in 2003.
Oh.
And she signed a deal worth an estimated between $40 million and $55 million. It was all based on some incentives that they put in place. So I guess as a minimum, she got $40 million. And there was another $15 to $20 million added on top of that if she, you know, did a Grand Slam or et cetera. So it just goes to show you that, you know, you can start out from anywhere, but if you work hard and you protect your quiet time, you could be a world champion winner.
Circling back,
yes. And so this has been brought to you by Bolt30.com.
Hi, this is your good friend Beverly giving you the ABCs of education. How to have a successful school year. First, begin each day by saying thank you, God, for another day. Secondly, think about one major thing that you would like to accomplish that day and write it down. Thirdly, master your course schedule as quickly as you can so that you can be in the correct space both physically and mentally each day. Fourth, establish a good rapport with your teachers, even if you don't necessarily like their methodology of teaching. Finally, end each day by just the way you started it, by saying thank you because you made it through another great day. Remember, this has been your good friend Beverly, giving you the ABCs of education. Bye-bye for now.
Okay, Bob, so we've had like a really great show. I mean, it's just been pretty tremendous. I mean, talking about the queen, talking about the queen of tennis, Serena.
We're talking about the queens.
Yes, talking about the book, The Art of Doing Twice the Work in Half the Time by Jeff Sutherland, and then talking about the whole idea that we have to protect our quiet time. And we did have a scripture for you, and we gave you that scripture so that you could go there yourself. That was Psalms 46, verses 10 and 11. We're asking Tony Beers to go there and study that for your quiet time protection. Also, I wanted to talk about, just briefly, Tony B is coming to Martha's Vineyard. Yes, that's going to be in 2024. Yes, that's going to be in the fall of 2024. Tony B Fest, you know, with movies and with our interviews and our music, all taking it to Martha's Vineyard. Bob, what do you think about that? I think we mentioned it before, but
I'm excited. I'm very excited to hear what this is all going to be encompassing and how it's going to look. Yeah.
So this is very new. Tony Beers and newcomers. We're actually venturing out. This has been a great show. Bob and I have thoroughly enjoyed this great conversation of a wealth of information. But the main thing, Tony Beers, is we want you to be strong. We want you to be safe. And above all, make sure that you are implementing those four attributes of being a Tony Beer, which is number one, you must be positive. Number two, you must be working on your personal goals. Number three, you must have a spirituality base. And above all, number four, being a Tony Beer, be of service to others. I wasn't worth your time and go home. We traded names, you call me crazy. I say I hate you, but can you blame me?